Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's drunk, the presentation's all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Lante watching some baseball. We got to follow up with our buddy because he tweeted today. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
His son Andrew threw a no-no.
It's pretty good,
isn't
it?
Is that a complete game no-hitter? Is that what we're talking? I don't know. I need to get confirmation. We post a little video. Apparently, things going well for Andrew and the Tays over there in Kansas City. He's going to get some celebratory barbecue. I'm going to have to...
That sounds so good right about
sounds
now.
Sounds awesome. I need to text him and get the full scoop and details so we can fill in the listeners. But happy for him. Happy that he's over there to see it. And that's, as far as we know, that's a pretty good situation to be on the hill. And for as long as he pitched, nobody got a hit. That's good stuff.
It is. Yeah, I'd say... throwing a no-no is pretty good day's work out there in KC.
I would think so. No other baseball action tonight in terms of the major leagues. You got that kicking back up tomorrow. And I'll admit, Kyle, it shouldn't be a surprise because I'm sitting here as a fan of a last-place team, and your Cubbies are probably in – middling, if not teetering towards sell mode a little bit on the deadline, and I'm ready for football.
I am too.
We're not that far away. Training camp for college football starting up here in a couple of weeks. I mentioned yesterday we didn't get to it, but Hard Knocks should be on here not too long, in a few weeks down the road. The New York Jets are going to be the selection for that one. We can talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Would have loved for the Bears to say yes to that. I think they're one of the teams that it's weird in terms of the rule of, like, if everyone says no, there's a select group of teams that haven't done it before that then kind of get pressed on it. And I think the Bears, I know for a fact, I would have remembered if they had ever been on Hard Knocks. I know your Miami Dolphins have been on it because I remember watching Chad Johnson / Ocho Cinco in a Miami Dolphins jersey very briefly before he ended up getting released for a domestic incident, but Joe Philbin, the coach for the Dolphins at that time.
I want to say that was like 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
As I never saw it. I just wasn't into it when I was 8, but.
It said TV PG-13 or whatever, and Kyle wasn't even allowed to, tune in. Probably 8 years old. Probably not watching HBO, but yeah, the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers and all that. Hype for a team that's got a really good defense that added some pieces offensively. Of course, the biggest one being Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson was an awesome rookie wide receiver last year. They bring in Alan Lazard, which should help. They also bring in Randall Cobb, which I'm not sure will help. Can't believe he's still riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers, a receiver that seems like he's 45 years old. I don't know that he has anything left, but Breece Hall, the running back that I was reading some people were voicing that maybe he was going to be the offensive rookie of the year prior to getting hurt. I know that he had some pretty good numbers, and he's going to be back available as well. So let's just start with that, Kyle, because we didn't get to it yesterday. What do you think about the Jets being on Hard Knocks from a scale of 1 to 10? What is your entry? I know you're a Dolphins fan, so we're talking about one of your rivals inside the division. But what is your interest in watching New York Jets Hard Knocks?
It's probably like a 5. Like, I'm just a little tired of hearing about the Jets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers goes to New York. I get it. They're in New York. I mean, technically they're in New Jersey, but they're a New York team. But it just seems like every single news story and every single get up segment in the morning with Greeny on there bringing up the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, I don't want to hear about the Jets anymore. This is a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, and I do think that I'm a little scared knowing Aaron Rodgers is there and knowing that that defense, which I mentioned multiple times on this air, that defense is really scary with the young talent on there. But like, let's give it a break with the Jets. That's just the Dolphin fan in me talking. But we got I think the two teams that are the front runners in the AFC East are still the Bills and Dolphins, and that's a biased take by my end. I absolutely 100% a biased take, but I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of interest in watching the Jets. I'm a little tired of them.
No, I think that the Dolphins adding Jalen Ramsey, getting Tua back, and having the weapons of Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. We saw what Mike McDaniel was able to scheme up offensively. I mean, it's not a crazy out there biased take to say that the Jets still got to prove it, that they're going to jump in front of the Dolphins.
One thing I am very interested in seeing on Hard Knocks, though, is that the Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers interactions, because Zach Wilson made it known that he's going to make his life hell in practice. Is that what he said last year?
Yeah.
Let's see if that's happening. Let's see some of those QB room meetings and what's going on there with good old Zach Wilson.
See, that was the fake tough guy thing.
That's some good TV there.
It would be, but Aaron Rodgers is way too big of a
that's not happening.
Of a alpha to come in, and Zach Wilson will cave and not do anything. He'll turn into a little puppy dog that he is to just follow around Aaron, and maybe it's the best situation to take some of the spotlight off of him, and we'll see what Zach Wilson's career actually entails going forward. But I imagine those big words, that puff your chest out, was probably anticipating the Jets maybe going out and getting, I don't know,
like Jimmy G or something.
Yeah, Jimmy G, the next Andy Dalton, maybe even Andy Dalton himself. I mean, he's been competing with like Mike White, who I don't even – does anybody know, was Mike White even a draft pick? Was he undrafted, sixth round pick, whatever? I think he was thinking that it'd be another middling borderline, maybe like a Mitch Trubisky type of guy. And
the Steelers locked him up, though, because when you have a chance to extend Mitch Trubisky, you got to pull the trigger on that.
It's pretty mind numbing right there. I don't anticipate, as much as I'd love to see it, some actual real friction there, and Aaron Rodgers putting Zach Wilson in his place and whatnot. I don't know if we're going to have Zach like camping out at a PTA meeting or looking for the next I don't want to go too far with that. But, you know, he is into older women. That's been very well documented. But, I'm intrigued. Number one, I'm just excited for football. So give me anything on that sense.
Absolutely fair.
I think Hard Knocks for me at the baseline is usually when it first comes out, I'm like at a 6 or a 7. I thought the Detroit Lions one was really good last year and gave us a preview. I mean, little did we probably know, there was a debate throughout the offseason of like, should we start buying into the Lions, or is this just kind of the production of, hey, we're getting into to Hard Knocks and Dan Campbell's a fun coach and Jamal Williams is becoming a really likable character, but is the Hard Knocks buzz going a little bit too far? They had a slow start to the year, and people were kind of clowning them, and then they actually go on a run and end up knocking out Aaron Rodgers and the Packers of the playoff picture there in the final week of the season. So I'm kind of at a 6 or a 7 as a baseline. And I'm really, really intrigued what this team's going to be. So me not having the as much exhaustion because I'm just elated that Aaron Rodgers is out of my division and now in yours, Kyle. I'm probably at an 8, to be honest. And I just kind of want to see what Aaron Rodgers looks like with in terms of chemistry, buy-in, and just what that situation going forward is. Is it going to be another – I have no expectation that it's going to be the next Russell Wilson in terms of him going to a new landing spot and he's just a dud and the Jets are there regretting their investment and he's over the hill type of thing. Is it going to be Peyton Manning in Denver? Is it going to be Tom Brady in Tampa? I would be far more leaning in that direction. And I actually expect a really, really good Aaron Rodgers, even though as I look it up on his stats last year, I mean, his QBR was like 39. And for those that need a refresher, out of 100, 39 for Aaron Rodgers, 26th in the league. I mean, it's pretty pretty far of a fall for a guy that was a back-to-back MVP prior to that. Of course, no Devontae Adams, had some young receivers, but Aaron Rodgers didn't really, if you listen to some of what, you know, Romeo Dubs had said right after the season or just him holding out of some of the minicamp stuff and just having the friction with the Packers, didn't seem to put in all the time to build that rapport, and there was just turmoil there throughout the season. And now new situation, more talented receiving core. He does get a guy he trusts in Lazard, and Garrett Wilson's going to be a huge benefactor as well of having a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, you got Mecole Hardman there, who they picked up from the Chiefs, the speedsters. He's going to be trying to compete with the Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle speed duo in that division there. But yeah, I think I do think Aaron Rodgers will have a lot of success there with the Jets. As much as I'm tired of hearing that. I still think they're third preseason in the AFC East. Slightly biased when I say that again, but I think last year was a situation where he did not want to be in Green Bay anymore. I mean, we even saw last offseason, we thought he was going to get traded last offseason. He said he was not going to come back and play for the Packers. Him and now I can't remember the Packers GM's name. Is it Gutekunst or something?
Yeah.
I think that's something like that. He clearly was checked out on Green Bay. He didn't have the weapons. You see Christian Watson drops an 80-yard bomb in week one against the Vikings, and it just kind of starts the, like, I got no weapons here. This team, they don't care about putting the talent around me anymore since they traded Devontae. He just felt like he was done with Green Bay last year. I think he's going to be a little bit more re-energized and now playing with a younger team and a more up-and-coming team. I think he will elevate them. I just am still skeptical about, you know, a lot of these people saying, oh, they're a Super Bowl contender. Oh, they're going to compete. Are they the number one team behind the Chiefs in the AFC that's going to compete with them? I want to see that first. Like, yeah, let's see. I'm optimistic about it, but let's see Aaron Rodgers be better than he was last year, because last year's Aaron Rodgers isn't going to win a Super Bowl with this Jets roster. Let's see this defense take another step forward. I don't know. I want to see it to believe it. They're in a really tough division, so they're going to need to find a way. Maybe they have to sneak into the wild card. I don't know. I'm not fully bought in on them being a Super Bowl team.
I pull up their schedule, and it's interesting. I mean, fast forward me 2 months already, although I am enjoying the summer. And but, I mean, honestly, 2 months down the road, September 11th, in New York, Monday Night Football, Jets against the Bills.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Week one. Wow.
And that'll be good.
Right after that, I mean, it's a challenging start for the Jets. You go Bills at home on Monday night, week one. Then you're at the Cowboys, week two. You host the Patriots, week three. And then you're hosting the Chiefs, week four. I mean, could easily start.
There's your time to prove it. If you're really a Super Bowl team, wow. Go beat that Chiefs team week four. Then I'll believe. Then I'll eat my words.
There's a chance to start 1-3.
There is. And 1-3 in the AFC East with the Bills team that's going to be good, a Dolphins team that I expect to be good, a Patriots team that's no slouch at all. Like, now you're in a little bit of a hole. Like, it's not. You do have some work to do in that division when it comes to setting yourself up.
I do think Rodgers is going to kill it, though. I would imagine. Maybe. Yeah, no, I do. I do think he's going to kill it. And it's funny. I've just had the the complex of seeing him ball out in the NFC North for forever. And I've unfortunately have been having to sit in front of the TV screen and watch him just shred my franchise for more than a decade, to the point that I don't think he's going to fail. I know that he's a drama queen, and he's all caught up in psychedelic mushrooms and ayahuasca and all
that
kind of stuff.
If that stuff comes up on Hard Knocks, then we might have some intrigue.
Might have some real stuff.
Yeah, that I'd like to see some scenes where that topic comes up.
I don't know. I'm just that team is one of the more interesting stories in the league. So I do appreciate that we're getting that versus, like, I don't know what's. I think while I mentioned the Bears at the top, I think while I would be interested to see behind the scenes of Justin Fields and the next page for this Bears franchise, I think for the most part the national audience would say, "Give me the Bears in like 2 or 3 years." They're probably sure. too early on that front. Is there another squad that comes to mind other than maybe your own Dolphins that you would have wanted to see?
I mean, yeah, that knowing the Lions were last year, I mean, I'm very intrigued by them, but we just saw them.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville is a solid one. I like that one. Who are some of these other teams?
Cincinnati?
With a lot of intrigue? Yeah, yeah.
Could get a look at Chase Brown.
Yeah, you could.
Training camp for sure.
Seattle with Witherspoon.
Ah, yeah. No doubt. I wouldn't want to watch Pete Carroll chomping gum for an hour every episode, though. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Jets make plenty of sense. Make plenty of sense. You got a, probably a closer look at them last year. Now, their offense was really limited. I think there were a number of games where they failed to score even 20 points. How good is that defense?
It's good, and it's really young, too. So it's a defense that I think is going to continue to get better. I mean, when you look at, I mean, speaking of the devil, Quinnen Williams on the defensive line just got an extension today, matter of fact. But that defensive line's really good with him and some of these other younger guys. And then you look in the back end, Sauce Gardner is probably one of the best young defensive players in all of football. He was really fun to watch last year. I'm a guy that loves watching really good cornerback play, and he was a problem. And that entire secondary, really, him and DJ Reed were probably the best corner duo in the league. The matchups of Dolphins and Jets, where you got the cornerback duos of Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard on the Dolphins side, DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner on the Jets side, that's going to be fun. But yeah, I think it's a really good defense. It's a really young defense that I think will get better. I think they were like top 10 in most categories last year, and that is the thing that really concerns me too, because when you pair it with Robert Saleh, who's a really good defensive coach, that is now – is he in year 3 now there in New York?
Sounds right.
I think that's a team that probably could be a top 5 defense this year. And yeah, if you add in Aaron Rodgers on offense, you don't even have to be a top offense. I think he could probably get by – knowing how good that defense can be.
I didn't realize they also got Adrian Amos.
Oh, that's right.
Was he another one of the wish list guys for Aaron Rodgers? Probably not, but another one of those Packers.
You saw the Jets strategy, though, although I think maybe Amos was a recent signing, but you saw that the Jets strategy was, let's bring in all of Aaron's buddies here and let's make sure we get this done. You saw the Lazard signing come in. You saw Randall Cobb signing with the Jets, and then it was about a week later that it's like, all right, yep.
The Lazard one makes sense. Like, he's a guy that Rodgers especially loved targeting in the red zone, and when he's not your number one, you got Gary Wilson as a legit number one. I like that signing for Lazard. The Randall Cobb one just doesn't make much sense at all to me. I just don't feel like he has anything left.
I don't really either. I think that was more of a, hey, let's just sweeten the pot any way we can here.
Get your buddy here. Surprise, no Jordy Nelson signing. Jordy Nelson out of retirement, or Clay Matthews, like a training camp invite. I don't know. Just glad it's not in my division anymore, Kyle. Just glad it's not. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I do want to talk a little bit more football this hour. A got some sound to play from the Cover 3 podcast on CBS Sports, talking about Northwestern in terms of where they will go next and with coaching candidates post Pat Fitzgerald. There's a little bit more details that we want to dive into on that front and just the kind of odd decision, and Kyle and I will get into it next segment. The odd decision to keep the rest of Pat Fitzgerald's staff, who was there obviously in what had become a toxic culture and locker room. So I think that's a very interesting and, dare I say, dumb decision. So we'll discuss that. Also, we're going to have at 4:05 Jason Pat, who covers the Chicago Bulls, to talk about their offseason. I do want to ask him, of course, a local interest story. Iodesumu, is he going to take his qualifying offer from the Bulls? Is he going to get a better option there in free agency? Io still has not had a landing spot in this free agent carousel. So we got to see what's the latest on him. And does he have a, if you were to go back to Chicago, what's that situation look like after some of the signings that the Bulls have made? So we want to catch up with Jason, which we will do at 4:05. Anything else that you guys want us to hit on, feel free to weigh in. 217-359-2255. Catch a break. Come back, talk some Northwestern football. Did they make a mistake by bringing back the rest of Fitzgerald's staff? And where could they go in terms of the direction with the next head coach? We will tackle that when we return. This is The Drive.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Hi, I'm Steve with Restoration Urban Ministries, and we have a desperate need. We have a building that's coming down, and we have to put up another one. But we have you, and we have God on our side. So August the 12th, we are going to have at Hessel Park in Champaign, family, food, and fun. We're going to have 5 to 10 different church bands playing. We're going to have speakers. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to have food. We're going to have sausages and barbecue and corn on the cob, all kinds of summertime treats. And we're going to have a lot of fun going on. We have different games for the kids. So we're counting on you to come and join us and participate and help us raise money for a new building in Jesus' name. You can come and visit us at www.restorationurbanministries.org. Family, food, and fun at Hessel Park, August the 12th. We'll see you there.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
If you need a new business sign or signage for your golf outing, we can do it and help you get noticed. Hi, this is Kirk Lehman, owner of Aftershock Decals and Design, and we can produce any kind of signage you want with our graphic design team. You want a custom design? We are here for you, and we are easy to work with, I promise. So visit us at AftershockDD.com to get a quote and get noticed. That's AftershockDD.com. Get noticed.
Racing, racing, racing! Farmer City Raceway is your local award-winning dirt track with exciting Friday night lights illuminating the late models and modifieds going for the checkered flag for the win! Make arrangements to get in on the camping with great price points for pit passes and young fans, as well as veterans. Friday nights, the hot laps start at 6:30, then qualifying and racing action. Don't miss out on the fun at Farmer City Raceway. For details, visit FarmerCityRacing.com. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Let's talk about the Northwestern storyline that continues to persist and evolve, even though we haven't gotten any more details as far as the report in terms of names and that whole kind of deal. I know Pat Fitzgerald is going to have a legal battle with the Northwestern brass there at the university and the athletic department because of the stipulation in his contract. You're going to get fired for cause. How come the suspension was 2 weeks without pay for in the summer versus then getting fired without any necessarily new development, at least based on what we know publicly? There's still a lot of question marks in terms of all of the details that Northwestern had at their disposal when they made both decisions as far as the punishments go.
I honestly think, just real quick, like that's one of the worst looks of the whole situation, is that you publicly give Pat Fitzgerald a 2-week suspension after the 6-month investigation has concluded. So you have all the information, and then once it leaks to the public and some of these details are coming out, oh, okay, now he's fired. That's honestly one of the worst looks of this whole situation. And it really, to me, reflects pretty poorly on, what is it, Northwestern's president or an athletic director, who are both, I think, pretty new, too. So, mm-hmm.
And also on vacation they were.
Yeah.
Which they were getting
dogged. Wasn't that, because they met with the team, but it was through Zoom because they weren't actually on campus. I mean, Come on, man.
I get it. I mean, some of the timing you can't necessarily predict, but as the perception right now, which I know that it's hard because we're left to speculate on some of the motives here and really what is driving some of the decision-making. But without further context and details and without further comment, it makes it look like it was the backlash from the public that then shifted the decision on the punishment. In addition with the details in terms of the accusations coming to light, I don't know if they didn't anticipate that, if they didn't think that those who were abused or allegedly abused in these hazing situations weren't going to go to someone, whether it's going to be on their own accord and go to social media and say, this is what happened to me, or find an outlet like the Daily Northwestern to tell their story. If they didn't think that was going to get out there, maybe they thought they could just sweep this thing under the rug. Otherwise, maybe it was a deal where they made a punishment for Fitzgerald, which looks like slap on the wrist doesn't even feel like an adequate way of even describing this. It's even less than that in comparison. If these things are true, and if he did in fact know or was that negligent in being the head of the program, where it's on the whiteboard in the locker room and he doesn't know what's going on, which seems harder to believe, but. Otherwise, it's either they thought they could hide it, or they then were like, oh, people are reacting pretty seriously, we got to do something more, without providing the details of the report, which I don't know we're ever going to see. It's like you said, it makes them look really bad, and just makes like they tried to get away with something very, very insignificant in terms of a punishment. Then all of a sudden, the ugly details were out there airing out in the open, and then they said, well, I guess we got to fire him.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, they wanted to keep Pat Fitzgerald. I mean, that guy has been Northwestern's head coach for 16 years. He has turned that program around both as a player and then as a head coach. He is one of the only coaches that can have success recruiting Northwestern because he was Northwestern. He personified Northwestern, and he was the guy that was bringing them talent, keeping them relevant in the Big Ten. Clearly, they didn't want this to happen. They wanted to do everything possible to keep him as the head coach. And that's when I do question, like, how the timing of it all, where the investigation that lasted 6-7 months wraps up. We hear of this 2-week suspension, and then 3 days later, oh, he's fired. And the only thing that happened in between those 3 days was the details getting released publicly by the Daily Northwestern and some other media outlets. So it's just that, yeah, that I can't come to any other conclusion than that's what happened. That the public backlash and the fact that it got out publicly was what drove Pat Fitzgerald to be fired. I'm sure that's the case he's going to make with his legal counsel, and I'm sure he will probably have some success in arguing that, because it just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It seems similar to credit to Wade for bringing this up. I know that they're different situations in terms of the wrongdoings that were made to lead to the search situations, but Bob Huggins at West Virginia, now he's fighting back and saying, "Wait, I didn't resign." I know it's a little bit different versus being fired, but he's
what is with that?
We don't need to discuss that right now, but I
can't wrap my head around that at all.
But it could be another situation where he's in a legal fight with West Virginia, saying, "Hey, wait, I shouldn't. I was. I don't know if he could say wrongly terminated, because I mean, it's well documented what he did personally versus this is kind of a." What did he or did he not know for Pat Fitzgerald? And if he didn't know, what could he have done to make sure that it didn't happen there in that locker room? On that note, how in the world is every single assistant coach keeping their job? Now, I understand where it's innocent until proven guilty. So you're going to have the burden of proof of, okay, yes, the head coach is the guy that should know, even if he didn't know all that's going on within the program. But a lot of people sit there and say, I find it hard to believe that Pat Fitzgerald wouldn't know. I would then go on to say the same thing about the assistants. Maybe not all of them, but it would be really hard to comprehend a situation where Pat Fitzgerald either knew or should have known, and then that doesn't trickle down to other members of his staff.
Yeah, and you almost would think the assistants would have a greater chance of knowing, because especially like the position coaches and some of these assistants, they're having more one-on-one contact with players. They're around the locker room more than maybe Pat Fitzgerald is, other than, you know, halftime and that type of thing. So it doesn't make any sense. I guess the only thing that comes to mind is like, well, if you're going to fire assistant coach A and B, how are you finding out, unless the investigation laid it out for you, which I just don't think it did, how are you picking and choosing which assistants to fire? Can you really fire every single coach in the program and have zero coaching staff in July with Big Ten Media Day? Like, it's just a really tough situation, but I'm totally with you. I can't imagine how Pat Fitzgerald gets fired, every single assistant gets to stay. I think the same type of logic of how didn't you know, you should have known, I find it hard to believe you didn't know, the same type of logic applies to all these coaches that are with these players and are around the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there are any number of anonymous quotes that are floating out there in these articles, but one of them, if I'm remembering correctly, was a player hinting at the Shrek's list or some of what was going on, and one of the it was described as one of the assistants saying, "Stop! I don't want to know. I really just don't want to know." I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to be probably culpable for what you guys are doing in this type of a situation. So, it would be hard in July to just completely gut the coaching staff and say everybody involved is out the door, because then you're going to have the players do the same
thing.
How can
you play a season? How do you even get ready for a season at that point?
It's going to be a disaster. Like, the thing is, I was kind of joking – I was talking to my dad today, and that, like, you had a one-win football team last year, so maybe you're not going to have a ton of guys who are super appealing for the transfer portal, but why wouldn't a lot of these guys, if they want to, go and become available and get out from this dark cloud that's going to be around this program, especially if you had, you know, 3 years left or whatever it may be. I mean, it could be a complete roller coaster ride on the downturn for Northwestern. That's another thing that I'm wondering about is if the NCAA is going to get involved and say and try to really dig their hands in on this and see if what was known and if there should be sanctions for the program. Because we've seen that with – I know it's different when you're talking about Penn State, when you're talking about Baylor, when you're talking about some of these other situations. There are varying levels of severity, not sure. To say that we're not talking about something that's very, very serious, because it is. It's sexual assault. But
it does have a lot of parallels to Penn State, though. I know the severity is a different question, but it has a ton of parallels to that whole situation with Sandusky. And I think that could be a blueprint for some of the things that come from this.
Yeah, I mean, there was a postseason ban in there. There was, I imagine, a reduction in scholarships. I know Bill O'Brien took over during that time and ultimately had some success after some of the penalties kind of played their way out. But that's one thing I wonder about. When you're talking about who's going to be the next head coach at Northwestern and how appealing that job is what is going to be hanging over their head, just in addition to just a bad vibe, a bad rep, a bad look across the state, which I think is going to be on the recruiting trail. You're going to have some guys probably on your roster that you'd like to keep. They're going to exit. You're going to have some issues in terms of recruiting because Northwestern's just going to have a bad rep probably for a little while. And a lot of questions on what really went down there or who all was responsible. And that's why ultimately it makes the most sense to clean house. But I don't know if you can do that at this stage in the summer unless Ed Orgeron is your answer and he just brings in his old former LSU staff or what have you. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Scott on the U of I line. I think text line says, glad Illinois plays them every year. They'll never recover. Big Ten should punt them in a couple of years. I do think it's going to be incredibly tough for them to recover from this in any immediate future. Because like you said, like, how are they going to it's already really tough to recruit to Northwestern with the academic hurdles that you got to get through, with the location, with the you know, just the exposure. And really, most guys that were committing to Northwestern over the last decade plus were committing to play for Pat Fitzgerald. They wanted to play for Pat Fitzgerald. That's the reason that they were going to Northwestern. Now he's gone. Now you have this hanging over your head. I mean, what families are going to be okay saying, okay, we're going to send our kid to play in the Northwestern football program when this type of stuff is going on in the locker room for the last 16 years? It's just going to be so hard for them to bring in talent. They already went 1-11 last year. They already have finished in last place in the Big Ten 3 the last 4 years. Are they going to be a Big Ten caliber football program going forward? I don't really think they are. And with the Big Ten expanding, with the Big Ten bringing in USC and UCLA, I'm sure they're not done. There's rumors of Washington and Oregon and some of these other teams. Is Northwestern, I mean, it's not a question that's entirely out of the realm of possibility. Is Northwestern's place in the Big Ten safe going forward amidst all this? I would assume it is, but it's just, I completely agree with Scott. Like, I don't see them recovering from this at all. I don't see them winning more than 2 football games the next 5 years unless they do find a way to bring in some blue chip head coach. That's just not going to happen at Northwestern with their current job situation.
Well, they're Chicago's Big Ten team through and through.
Yeah. Can this situation, not to make light of it at all, but can this situation officially, can we take down all the billboards? You cannot with a straight face call this program Chicago's Big Ten team after this. Let's please retire that at least for now.
I wouldn't think Chicago wants that, but I do know I was interested, and I've been doing some looking into just kind of the perception of what this job could look like. And I know that 24/7 had an article of, you know, how attractive should this Northwestern job be. One point that's made in terms of the the future forward in college football, because you're going to have a big two. Like, in terms of the Power Five conferences, it's really a big two with Big Ten and SEC. Yes, and if the Big Ten wants to in their expansion, we've always wondered, I think, is there any one of these conferences, like, is the SEC going to say, Vandy, yeah, you're great for our academic averages and graduation rates and just overall standards academically, but are you bringing it on the money-making side of in terms of football and basketball? They've been pretty weak, both on those fronts. Northwestern, maybe. I know that a lot of people have thought, if you're looking at the Big Ten context, is Rutgers really worth having around? Basketball-wise, yes. Football-wise, I mean, Greg Schiano could get things going here, maybe in a year or a couple years. But Northwestern, especially if this thing hangs over their head for a while, could be difficult for them. But there is a note here in this 24/7 article, based on the TV revenue set to come into the Big Ten and the overall revenue sharing that gets divvied up equally across the teams. I mean, Northwestern's revenue, according to this article, is projected to be $40 or $50 million more annually by the end of the decade in comparison to all of its peers and all of the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. So you think about a program and an athletic department that will pull in a lot more money because they're partnered with the Big Ten, which means more money to dole out to coaches, more money for facilities. They already have a really nice practice facility football-wise. They have an $800 million project for their football renovation, which there's been talk of it.
There's no way that's going to move forward at least in the next year or two.
They've got to do themselves some favor because their supporters want answers of the investigation. I think that could also not only provide some clarity. Now, there's a way that people see all they peek behind the curtain and say, you know, it's even more incompetent and poorly run and just whatever. They might have found the details there and tried to hide it. So maybe you don't want the full report out there. But I think that if there is a situation, there's a situation where that helps them in terms of transparency. And it could also help answer some of the questions of, like, who knew what? Like, I think I'm wondering of, at what point did the players involved in this, those that were the abused, those that are coming out and saying this is what happened to me, when did they go to someone to tell them about it? When did they go to a coach? When did they go to a administrator? When did they go to someone in the athletic department and say that? Not that you're gonna get all of that, maybe all encompassing across like a decade or more, but I would imagine if the investigation was that thorough and talked to that many people and that many players and that many people involved in the program, there would be some documentation of that. So it could really shine some light on what Pat Fitzgerald should have known or maybe even allegedly knew. And the same thing with some of the other members of the staff or other people in the athletic department, and really get rid of what should be a turnover of this to get this off their resume, or just, it's not going to get off the resume, but just turn that page for real and allow people to know, okay, this is what we found. This is what we have to do to make sure that our hands are as clean as possible on this. And then we can move forward with a new tenure. But without that being done, and especially with the whole staff still being there in Evanston, it just feels wrong.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that has been the cry here, is to see that report get released. I think in Northwestern's president's official statement where he said he'd relieve Pat Fitzgerald of his duties, he said it isn't going to be made public. I think there deserves to be some transparency in this situation, especially with the way it was handled, especially with the suspension thing and the fact that, like you said, now you're keeping all these assistant coaches. Why is that happening? Can we have some transparency and say, okay, the investigation detailed that the assistants did not know that this was happening? I think there's still so many questions surrounding the situation that there could be answers to, and I'm sure the right people have the answers to, and now it's just a matter of, will the public ever get those answers? And I think it we should. I think it's such a serious situation that has such wide-ranging and wide-reaching effects from it. I think that a lot of those answers deserve to be shared publicly, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I want to hear something from either the president, the AD, someone speak publicly about, listen, why did we handle it this way? Explain yourself in terms of what, you know, that's the other part of it too, that we haven't heard from either of those two yet. So I think there are a lot more answers that need to come from this.
And who are the players doing this?
That's the other thing too.
Are there not players maybe on the current roster?
What's stopping those names from being released? Because now we know the details of what was happening. Now we know how awful and disgusting some of this stuff was. What's stopping those names from being released? Yeah. Because if you're going to do something like that, it's now all of a sudden it comes out in a 6-month long investigation, your name is fair game now.
Your name, yeah, definitely dismissal from the program if there's enough evidence to support that. But you would think that there would be enough to gather from the people in the locker room to know who is running this hazing ring, so to speak, and who's the ones enforcing the Shrek's list and doing the quote unquote running and the car wash and whatnot. And those are other questions that I think people should want to know, and there should be resolution there. That Northwestern can't get away with just saying, all right, Pat, thank you for what you've done. You're out of here. Sorry, you may or may not have known. And he's going to say he didn't know, and now we're just going to move on. Like, that's not satisfactory enough, and that's not cleaning it up enough to allow this program to move on. On the note of moving on, before we catch a break, I wanted to play a snippet of the Cover 3 podcast that's on the CBS Sports Network. Tom Fornelli, who's an Illini fan, by the way, you probably follow him on Twitter. Bud Elliott also speaking on what is next for Northwestern football and some candidates who could be interested in this job. Here is Tom Fornelli and then Bud Elliott.
There's a couple assistants of teams we just talked about, I think, could be in play here down the line.
Like who?
Ken Niumatalolo at Northwestern, I think, could be somebody who fits. I think Jeff Munkin, he's not an assistant, but I think Northwestern is a team that, considering the new landscape, could consider going option and maybe wouldn't hate it.
I knew he was going to make the case for that.
But I had to. Other options are the offensive coordinator at Colorado, who's got plenty of experience in the Midwest from his time as a head coach at Kent State. Maybe this will finally end up being the Big Ten job he ends up getting. And another offensive coordinator who is in the SEC now, who is from Lake Forest, Illinois, not too far from where I am now, and not too far from the campus in Evanston, a young man named Tommy Reese. These are some names I think could be mentioned for this job in the future.
I would go a little bit bigger and more proven. Dave Clawson and Lance Leipold, right? Like,
Danny and Bud in lockstep here. I was surprised.
I don't think you can win like big at Wake, and I don't think you can win big at Kansas. So you might as well go get paid. And Northwestern can pay a lot more money than Wake or Kansas I don't necessarily like the Big Two language, but it's definitely used by coaches I talk to. So like, it's not going to get. That's not going away. I think if you're Clawson, there's real fear, not for him, but I think he should have fear that the ACC falls apart, right? And if you can go secure like a 10-year, $100 million contract at Northwestern, I mean, hey, there's a lot of good places, good spots to live in Chicago, right? So that's not a bad look. There's no evidence you can win long term at Kansas. I mean, honestly, Northwestern's been a pretty bad program for the vast majority of like the color TV era, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no pressure there though. So like, you're making a bunch of money. I think who doesn't take it is a guy that's like, I'm going to job jump off this. Right. Like, I talked to a couple of coaches, texted around, like, it's a great job, 'cause you're going to get rich. It's like generational, family changing money, but they treat it as a job, not as like a stepping stone opportunity. 'Cause the odds are that you don't get promoted out of there.
I will say,
very interesting, and just the different level of, I mean, Tom Fornelli talking about some assistants like Tommy Reese is thought to be an up and coming offensive guy there. Of course, the former quarterback at Notre Dame, but that's a big difference between a Tommy Reese who's never been a head coach and a guy like Lance Leipold who prior to Luke Fickell taking the job at Wisconsin, was thought maybe he goes to Wisconsin and he's the next guy in line. And another really good year at Kansas, if they were to have it, he could be one of the hotter names on the block.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I cannot see him taking Northwestern because really for the points that he just mentioned on the podcast there, Lance Leipold has so many more opportunities in front of him. I can't imagine that he stays at Kansas much longer than the next 1 or 2 years. I think there'll be a bigger job coming. If you leave for Northwestern, are you really ever going to make it out of Northwestern in this given situation? It is an interesting thought because, yeah, my mind immediately goes to, well, who's taking that job now? That job is a terrible job in this situation. Who wants to take that job? But then again, you do think about, hey, money talks. Northwestern's got the money. It is a Big Ten, and you were the first to bring this up. We could be headed towards a Big Two in terms of conferences. You have the security of, hey, this is a Big Ten program. I don't think there is any risk of any type of Northwestern gets booted. I just don't think that would ever happen. So that's a consideration as well, especially for coaches that are in the ACC or the Big 12 or whatever it may be. So Northwestern probably has a lot more options than I would originally think stemming from this situation. But it is still a tough sell, especially if you're going and getting a proven head coach. If you're hiring a coordinator for his first head coaching job, it's one thing. How many proven head coaches with resumes that have been in the game for a while, how many of those guys are going to be willing to take on this massive challenge of Northwestern where there's really no guarantee you're ever going to win?
No, that's a great point. I do think they're going to have to pay up to have someone be willing to take on what's going to be a potentially very challenging rebuild and shedding this stink from the program and the hazing allegations that have obviously surfaced and have gotten Pat Fitzgerald fired. But maybe just the patience of, hey, we got to guarantee 5, 6, 7 years and give good money so that someone will be willing to make the jump and know that their job security is safe while you turn this thing around and really reestablish a positive light on the program and the culture and that this thing is behind us. So that's something that they could potentially do if they get the financial commitment from the donors, which is going to now be in question with the stadium. But that is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Like a guy like a Jim Leonard, I'd wonder, would he want this job?
Is he anywhere?
That's a good question. I looked him up on Google, and his Wikipedia says former coach at Wisconsin. So I don't know that he's anywhere currently.
That's a name.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll see. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255. I know a number of you have. We can get some more of your texts as we go along in the show on the U of I Online and Link text line. We're going to have on the other side, Jason Pat talks some Chicago Bulls, what they've done this offseason. They made a couple of additions. Io DeSumo still waiting to see where he's going to land this offseason. We'll ask him both of those. And what is the path forward for the Bulls up there, who kind of are a little bit of a middling ground of, you know, not going to sell off, not going to go into full rebuild, not really in a position to compete. What's next for Chicago, and what does he think of some of the moves they've made this offseason? We'll ask Jason Pat that when we return. This is The Drive.
You spend half of your life indoors. That's half of your life underneath your roof. Who do you trust to keep you safe and dry underneath it? The name to remember is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors understands the harsh weather conditions that your roof endures because they're a family and locally owned business. From your community, for your community, the doctors who make the house calls, Roof Doctors, at roofdoctors.com or phone 328-7529. Rest easy under a roof that's been treated by Roof Doctors.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team.